Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Behind the Binge Podcast. It is your host, Marissa, but today I am not alone. Today we are going to be joined by my past group coaching client, Emily H. Emily was part of Behind the Binge Academy for 6 months starting in February of this year, February 2022. When she first started, she was really struggling with the all or nothing mentality. She was really big on healthy eating and macro counting, even down to every little gram and really working out excessively. But then she'd find herself on the other end of the spectrum, binging, purging, and really isolating herself from the things she enjoyed. Can any of you relate to this cycle? On her application, though, she shared her goals, and she said that she would really like to break free from binging and obsessing over food. She ultimately just wanted a balanced life without being focused on perfection. And I'm really excited to share her story with you today so that you can hear all about how she accomplished exactly that. From binging and restricting and bodybuilding competitions to a balanced, healthful life of food freedom with ease. I can't wait to dive into this conversation, but first, I do want to let you know that Behind the Binge Academy is open for enrollment right now. This is the exact program Emily went through, and you will hear all about her experience inside of the Academy in the episode to come. But ultimately, the Academy is my signature group coaching program following my proven framework to give you everything you need to find binge freedom. It's 3 months of group coaching and online modules that will help you to rewire your binge brain, regulate your appetite, build body trust and attunement, and create a healthful life without restrictions of diet culture. It only opens a few times a year, and I don't want you to miss this cohort before the year ends because we are going to finish this 3 months in 2022, which means that you will be able to leave binge eating behind in 2022 as you step into the new year. I would love to help you overcome any binge eating or body image struggles that you have. And if you are interested in joining the Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or head over to my website, behindthebinge.com, for more information. All right, let's get into the episode with Emily H.
Welcome to Behind the Binge, the podcast where we bring forth much-needed conversations about binge eating recovery and ditching diet culture. I'm your host, Marissa Kaimilik, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and binge eating coach. This is our space to dive into practical tips to heal from binge eating, challenge your diet culture beliefs, discuss the nuances of intuitive eating, and empower you to recover. Let's start exploring what's behind the binge.
All right. Hello, Emily. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yay. Well, before we dive into the evolution of your story and what got you here today, I would love if you could let the listeners know just a little bit about who you are so they kind of know who they're listening to, maybe where you're from.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Emily. I grew up in Minnesota in Invergrove Heights. I grew up with one brother who is a few years older than me. I'm 24 years old, and I decided to move to Eau Claire, Wisconsin for college. I graduated a few years ago. I actually was a COVID pandemic graduate, so definitely went through a lot there, and now I'm still living in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Awesome. So to get started on understanding the background of your relationship with food, I'd love if we could start with sharing what your relationship with food was like growing up.
Thinking back on when I was growing up, how did I interact with food? What did I feel towards food? It's a lot different looking at it now versus if you would have asked me a few months ago. I think looking back on it now, I can tell that there were a lot of red flags in how I responded to food and how maybe people around me talked about food, but then also how I internalized that. So for example, you know, ever since I can remember, people around me, whether it's within my family or friends, very big on dieting and glorifying that process. talks of good and bad food, and also how they talked to me about my eating habits, when at the time I wouldn't have really known that this was as negative as I view it now. But, you know, different things like, oh, you're really going to eat all that? And different comments like that, that now we know how to work through. But at the time, you know, it just was a big hit, and I wasn't able to identify what I was feeling about that. I just felt like I was doing something wrong. And that really became worse, I would say, as I got into high school. One of the key moments that stand out to me as like, say, maybe when did this start to get worse, or when did I myself start to get involved in diet culture, was when I was a sophomore in high school. I joined a club volleyball team. And at the time, I thought it was the greatest thing. My volleyball coach, she decided to, you know, sit us down for the last 15 minutes of every practice and talk to us about nutrition. That was really interesting to me. It was great. But now looking at it, there was maybe a little bias behind it, maybe some false statements that were made, a little scare tactics that were put in there to make us afraid of carbs, afraid of eating too much. And we were challenged as a team to go on a diet together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was one of those things that wasn't mandatory, but like everybody's doing
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's right? doing it. And there's that pressure, like it's your coach. Obviously, the motivation behind it that you probably understood was a positive thing. And so, of course, and not only that, you're in a competitive sport. So anything sort of added to the mix there just kind of adds fuel to that competition nature.
Yeah, exactly. And working with a coach who, you know, I admired so much, you know, she was a great volleyball coach. I think she had our best intentions in mind, but I don't know if she understood how harmful that could be to really try to get younger girls to be like, all right, you're athletic ability and how I'm going to view you as a volleyball player is going to be determined on how you stick to this, you know, this nutrition side, this diet side that really has nothing to do with us going in and playing volleyball. So I remember this all happened after our parents had went out on a tournament day and gotten us lunch and brought it back. And she was just like so upset about it because we were all so tired and lethargic afterwards. And, you know, taking into account, maybe it was a pretty big meal, but, you know, getting mad at people eating food, that was definitely the start of like, oh, I can diet. I can do this. My mom did it with me. So there was maybe that support there, but maybe not the support I needed of like, you're fine.
And it sounds like that conversation that might have happened after that meal with your family and the shame that came up started to create that narrative of moralizing food, right? Like good and bad, and also what you eat moralizing who you are.
Yeah, that was definitely something I was thinking about, that after that, you know, dieting was very consistent. And I was looking back through my phone. It was in the middle of our time together. And I was just like, the amount of pictures of food and progress pictures of my body, I was really like, my worth is linked to my body, which now we know isn't true. And that isn't how I feel anymore. But it really was there. And it all started with just like, all right, I got praised for going on a diet. Oh, I stopped the diet. Oh, I don't receive that praise anymore. Okay, I'm going to go back on a diet. So that's kind of the external factor of it, you know, within, you know, whether it is sports or family driven, there is kind of that praising of diets and being smaller.
And as humans, we all desire that need for acceptance and praise. And so it's understandable how these messages of diet culture really get internalized as a way of us meeting those needs, right? The more we diet, the more we try to change our body to fit certain norms, the more acceptable we are. And it's really unfortunate, but obviously it came to a point for you where you realized that something was off. So how long did this diet cycling go on for you? And what was it that made you realize that there was an issue?
So that was when I was 14, 15 years old. So it's been about 10 years, I would say, of diet cycling. You know, there have been periods of time where I look back and maybe realize, oh, I didn't diet for quite a while, but there was never comfort in who I was or my body. I think if I ignored it for long enough, you know, maybe I could just like be okay with where I was at. But as soon as it got pointed out again, you know, it was like going on a trip, you know, your typical like, I got to get ready for spring break sort of thing. You know, there was never true comfort there with myself. So it was definitely an issue for a while growing up. And then just recently, so I started at this point about a year and a half ago, I would say even a year before that, you know, a couple of years ago, I started looking into bodybuilding. And we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but I am a personal trainer right now as my career. And there was more with this decision to go into bodybuilding. But in terms of dieting and how it led to, you know, asking for help, I decided to go into bodybuilding as a bikini competitor. And I got 5 days out from my show. I went through all of prep. I did, you know, everything with a coach beforehand, worked with him for about a year, and it was 5 days out. I had put, it was my life at that point. Like there was no social life. There was nothing else. It was that. And that was my identity at that point. My identity was linked to my body, and it got too much. Everything was too much. I was back home. I was house sitting for somebody, and I thought that would be a nice relaxing thing to do before I go and do this thing that I've been preparing for over a year. And they had some things in their house that I had not let myself have. I had restricted myself from for X period of time. And I had the largest binge of my life. And I remember going and picking my parents up from the airport right after. I just had to act like everything was okay. I was still hiding at that point, like, hey, I didn't do anything too bad. I didn't mess up too bad yet. And then it kind of continued throughout the night. And I was a mess. I knew I just had thrown away all this work, because at that point, I knew my body just wouldn't bounce back for stage ready. If we're talking about, you know, bodybuilding, now I know that our bodies are always ready. But, you know, at that point, I was just like, hey, it's done now. And I texted my coach. I was like, I don't want to talk about it, but I don't think I'm competing anymore. I was like, wow. I'm going to bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
That took a lot of courage to be able to take a step back and recognize that. I mean, I'm sure some of the motivation for taking a step back was just that you didn't feel as though you could perform and be ready. But I don't doubt that the damage that that had put on you also made you realize, like, I need to take a step back and reevaluate what's going on here. And like, if this is really best for me to go back up on that stage and continue to fight for, you know, that type of competition.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was just like, something isn't right here. I was so mad at myself, and I knew I had put in all this work, but I was just so down, and I was like, okay, something isn't right here. And I had a few different coaches at that time, and the next day I still went in like normal. I was getting my workout in. Marissa, I was bawling the entire time during my workout. Aww. I couldn't stop crying, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I used to love this. Like, working out was something I loved, and I hadn't at that point loved it going in for my workouts in a long time. And so I had the conversation with a few coaches, and it was up to me at a certain point, but I wish somebody just would have said, hey, I want you to get some help, you know, like, I will help, but I think this would be the right choice for you. But I am glad I ended up making that choice of, okay, I'm not going to compete. I could have still went up on stage, but I knew I wouldn't have been proud of myself. There was a lot to it that was going on behind the scenes throughout all of prep with restricting and binging. And I was just like, I didn't do this, you know? And gosh, it was just such a struggle of like when to be proud of myself for what I had done, but I just couldn't be. So at that point, I was looking out for any sort of help I could. And there is not enough people like you. I will say that there's not enough help out there, unfortunately, or too many people need help. And it was very hard to find any sort of guidance, help, therapy. I did finally get set up with a therapist, and my doctor helped talk to me for a while. And I found you. I was, it was in the same day, I was sitting down going through my computer, and I found this video that I had taken of myself. And it was just me like this talking into my camera. And I was just talking to myself or my future self. And this video was from a few years back. And I was sitting, I was crying, and I was like, why can't I control myself? Why am I like this? I was just beating myself down, and I was just like not giving myself any sort of grace. And I just realized, I was like, I am in the exact same spot that I was at when I took this video, and that was years ago. I was having the same exact habits, no coping skills with, you know, what I was going through. And I came across your page that day. And I was like, wow, you know, I just looked through your page a little bit, which was uncommon because the people that I followed at that time, you know, were very like pro diet, you know, bodybuilding types. And I was so thankful that I was like, okay, this was meant to be. You know, I ran across your page and I was like, I need to do something different. And I need to find this actual love for myself that I've been saying I have, that I don't know if I do have that.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad, obviously, that you've reached out. Because it's just, I mean, it's amazing to reflect back on this whole story and see how much courage you had to stop the bodybuilding, probably go against a lot of what you had been taught was the quote unquote right thing to do in the fitness industry, and advocate for yourself, talk to your doctor, find a therapist, find me, apply for my program. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to recognize that there is a need for some help and then ask for help. So I'm proud of you for those really early steps that have gotten you here to where you are today. That's just, it's amazing truly to see that you deserve so much more and you were willing to go out there and seek that life on the other side.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely hard to kind of find that push to find that help. And I'm really happy that I found everything when I did, because you know, in those moments where you admit that you need help, you're ready then. Right? Like, you don't know how you're going to feel in a week or so. And I'm happy that I, you know, it took a little bit, but, you know, pieces fell into place and best decision I've ever made. Yeah.
I love that. Well, thinking back again, you know, just with your motivation to do the bodybuilding competition and probably other goals within the fitness industry, what was your motivation from the start back then that kept you in this diet cycle?
Yeah, that was a hard one to realize. That hit me kind of hard, because I prided myself always on, I'm doing this for the right reasons. And I thought about my whys, and my whys at the time were, I want to be the best personal trainer I can be. I want to get this experience. I want to be able to help other people go through prep. These were all the things I was telling myself. And after really looking at why I, you know, maybe had done diets in the past, I had wanted to go into bodybuilding, it was definitely to try and prove myself. To who? Maybe to myself, to others, to make people see me. I was very driven by external validation that sport gave and gives. I wanted to show that I was strong enough. That was my big thing, where when I decided that I was done, I was like, I could have done it. You know, I'm strong enough. And it's like, you know, it's like, Emily, you are strong, but you don't need to be stronger than this. Like, this is something that you need to work through and not just, you know, jump on top of and be stronger than it and hide it. So there was definitely a lot of personal things that I felt bodybuilding was going to give me, like the love, affection, attention that I was seeking. I thought it was going to give me security in myself. I thought it was going to make me look in the mirror every day and love myself, which was actually the complete opposite. I think I just judged myself way more during that whole process. Yeah, that's kind of the whys and the realization that I had, that I started off maybe having the right intentions, but they weren't my true intentions.
I think so many people listening right now can relate to that desire for that validation from others, validation in their field, validation in who they are, validation that they're good enough, healthy enough, fit enough, lovable enough, right? And we constantly seek that and come to find out that A, we can't control what other people think, and B, it never allows us to actually just feel good enough in who we are at our core, because we're always trying to morph and change ourselves for other people. And so what was that journey like for you to really distance yourself from needing that validation from others, especially in your fitness field. What was that like to get to a place where, you know, you're secure enough in yourself to not need that from others?
I think one of the biggest challenges while we were working together was, one, becoming secure in myself, just in who I am, appreciating my body, but also staying in the fitness industry and still having hope for it. There is a healthy way to move our bodies, to still exercise, to still go to the gym, lift weights, but to find that new balance. So in the beginning, I really struggled with, like I said, kind of my worth as a personal trainer. Like I thought, if I'm a personal trainer, like I should be able to do this, right? Like I'm telling other people that they can do this. Like it was that almost like imposter syndrome of like, why can't I do this if I'm telling people to do it or to help them through it? And it was like, well, one, that's their journey, not yours. And two, your knowledge doesn't differ depending on how your body looks. So you are just as educated. You have the same capabilities as a personal trainer to do your job, whether this is your body or this is your body. And now there are going to be certain stigmas around the fitness industry where, you know, a personal trainer with a certain look might get more attention, more client than a personal trainer that isn't stage ready, hasn't competed. And I think coming to that realization that like, well, you know what, maybe I want to work with people that are willing to look past that. Maybe my philosophies of training and my way of getting them to their goals, they wouldn't, certain people wouldn't appreciate that. And I would hope later on in life that maybe, you know, they'll come to a certain point where they would be open to it too. But staying true to yourself means a whole ton more than just trying to make other people happy. And that was a big lesson. People pleasing, always trying to do things that others would like and do it in a way that they appreciated. It's like, well, no, this is who I am as a person, as a trainer. These are my values, my morals, and this is how I am going to help you if you let me, you know, take you to a place that hopefully is full of a lot more love and enjoyment for your body than it is right now.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because honestly, having a personal trainer that is real and realistic and relatable is such a breath of fresh air for so many people. I mean, myself included, it feels a lot more approachable, and you likely allow your clients to keep coming back by being that person for them, by being there. Say, it's okay, let's take it at your own pace. Let's meet you where you're at. You don't have to change your body. You're okay as you are. It's so much more empowering. And I feel like diet culture and fitness culture really creates this box that we're supposed to fit into, and everything is right inside the box and everything outside the box is wrong. But really, once you can get over that barrier of like that box, once you can step outside the box, it allows you to zoom out and really see that there's no right or wrong when it comes to who you are, how you show up for your people around you, how you, you know, have a fitness journey, etc., and that there's space for everyone, every body, both every person and every body size, right? And so I love to hear how you've really been able to zoom out and see another perspective where, yeah, there are fitness instructors who have done the competitions and who look that way, but we absolutely need fitness instructors on all ends of the spectrum, because everybody is different and everybody will relate and need somebody different with different experiences.
In the past few months, I've been so lucky to have gone through, I feel like what I have gone through, and it's only making me better in my career. I've had multiple clients come to me who have gotten tears in their eyes and needed a moment just because they were so happy that they finally were talking to somebody that was listening to them. And the biggest thing that I got was like from multiple people, like, thank you for not throwing me right on the scale right away. And I'm like, I just wish that there was a little bit more compassion and listening in this field. Like you said, everybody is different. Everybody has different goals. Not everybody wants the typical societal, you know, bikini body, abs, you know, things. Like some people, like they're just looking to appreciate themselves a little bit more. And when you brought up, you know, fitting in different boxes, I had a gentleman come to me the other day and I thought about you. He asked me, he said, you know, I just want you to make a list of foods for me that are good and that are bad. And I was like,
oh man.
I was like, okay, I can do that for you. So I took out a sheet of paper, put a line down the middle. I wrote good foods. I wrote 99% of foods. On the other side, under bad foods, I said foods you don't like, foods you're allergic to.
I love it. He was probably like, wait, come on.
He was like, wait, what? So I kind of did my little talk through with him that this is my perspective. This is how I'm going to be bringing you through, you know, with helping you through your nutrition journey, you know, the guidance that I am able to give. And so it's been really nice to be like, I know what they want to hear, but this is how I am going to help.
Yeah, because you know the impact that it has to moralize food in that way. And you also know the positive impact it has to learn to listen to your body and treat your body in ways that doesn't have the good and bad food list. Yet, Emily, a year ago or 2 years ago, would have had that exact same list she was relying on. And so what was it that helped you to get past that point of the good and bad foods and past that point of restricting your foods? What was it that helped you to open up that permission to eat more foods?
So, yeah, our talks on all or nothing thinking is like the first thing that comes to mind. Like you just said, I was the person with the list. I was the person with a checklist that I did, you know, 10 different tasks every day that were very, very precise. And I made sure that I checked those things off every day. And if I didn't do one of them, oh my goodness, I felt like I failed. I just could not move past that imperfection and that I wasn't doing good enough if I didn't do it all. And so our talks on finding the middle ground with ourselves, our expectations, foods in general, that really helped me just think through my internal thoughts a lot more. Like, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm putting things into two different boxes when there's a spectrum. That really helped finding my values and my morals and really figuring out what do I want for myself. I have never done that before. I've never really sat down and been like, well, what am I feeling? What do I need? What do I want from life? And that helped me step back from what society wants from me, what my people in my career want from me. You know, it just helped me focus on what do I want from me. And that changed my perspective on the love that I was able just to allow myself to take in.
I know so many people who've never asked themselves that question of like, what do I want, right? Mm-hmm. So many people live for others naturally. I mean, we are conditioned to be people pleasers, especially in diet culture. I mean, usually it's literally all about external values. So wow, that's amazing to hear that. One of the biggest things you had to do was ask yourself, what do I want? What do I value? What is my life about? Not what anybody else is thinking or choosing for me.
Yeah, it was, I remember the exact session that we were in when I was just like, whoa, I know what I want. I know what I'm feeling. Like I'm getting connected to who I am. And I was like, this is cool. It felt really good. So then in terms of like really the food piece of, okay, like let's get food. Let's give ourselves the permission to, you know, eat the foods that we might think are off limits. My big thing was hiding. I wouldn't allow myself certain foods in social situations, whether that's one person or a group of people. But maybe I would have those things at my house. Usually if I did have them at my house, they would only be there for about a day because I had this rule in my head that I know is common among people with eating disorders is that like, okay, like I have to finish it right now and throw it away just to get rid of it so it's not there still. That was something big that I had to overcome of just, it's okay to eat around other people. You can have what you want to have. So the biggest thing for me was introducing those foods into being in my house at all times. And that was hard.
What happened when you tried to do that?
When I first tried to do that, I mean, it was frustrating. I was having binges kind of consistently, but it wasn't until we talked about it in session and we started doing more of like reflections before and after. And you don't want to take that time because you know something, you're not going to feel right about something. And it was definitely in those times, it was my way to turn everything off, disassociate, just take any pressures or any anxiety that's going on right now. And I'm going to forget about it. And like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to eat this. And being mindful while eating and actually being connected, it sounds it just sounds so different now, you know, just to be like feeling the feeling of being full and that process of like, okay, yeah, I am a little bit more hungry, but I'm only, you know, I'm just going to grab this because that's what I actually want. There was none of that talk going on in my head. You know, it was this endless pit just to fill with, you know, because of emotions and no other coping mechanisms and stuff. It led to a lot of different feelings within the moment. But once I really started to sit down with no distractions and think about how the food tasted, if I was maybe in a phase of binging or overeating, why am I doing this? Making it okay for myself, that took a while, but just allowing that to happen, because right, there's a spectrum that we just talked about. And then it got easier. And then it was hitting goals that I wanted for myself. That video that I brought up that brought me to working with you, where I was crying. In that video, I said to myself, I was like, Emily, all I want for you is to be able to sit down and have one bowl of cereal. Like, that was my food, right? That was my thing, that my trigger. And I couldn't imagine a world where I could control myself enough to just have that, or to have enough mindfulness, I should say, in that moment, just to be like, okay, that was good. And that was satisfying. And that was okay to eat that. And when I did that, you know, when I just had one, I came to session, I was like, I had one bowl of cereal.
It's such a celebration. And we think like, oh, that's so silly. But it's those moments that come full circle and are just so empowering and exciting. I have chill bumps right now. I'm like, yes. Oh, that's amazing. Because I've been there too. You think it's impossible. You think it's just self-control and willpower. But really, it's about starting to work with your body instead of fighting it all the time. And although you realize that a lot of your binges were used to numb, to disconnect, to pull yourself out, and as an emotional coping tool, wasn't necessarily about just finding other coping tools like, oh, let me go for a walk or do medication included, yes.
Right.
But it was also about connecting to your body. We think that emotional eating is just about having other tools in the toolbox. But yes, one of those tools is coming inward, listening to your body, feeling your feelings, both physical and emotional. And I feel like that sounds like that was the most transformative for you, was going inward instead of living in your head and living, you know, outside of yourself.
Yes. 100%. I mean, of course, you said it perfect. You know, it was just taking the time to listen, to know what to listen to as well, you know. And maybe I am eating, let's say, a bowl of ice cream, right? And maybe there are some of those negative thoughts rolling around in there, but knowing just to be like, okay, we're just going to maybe push these to the side a little bit. We're going to let them be there, but let's see what else is going on in here. And oh, okay, you know, I am enjoying this ice cream. Okay, I'm starting to get full. Okay, I'm done. I'm good. I feel satisfied. And wow, that was what I needed in this moment. And now look, those bad thoughts are gone, because I'm just moving on, because I did realize I was just satisfied. So kind of what I imagine running around in my brain.
Yeah, it's like that movie. What is that? Inside Out or something like that, where it's like inside your brain, all the little people talking to each other. Yes. So, you know, that all sounds so wonderful. You're able to eat a bowl of ice cream or a bowl of cereal and move on and feel good about it. But how long did that take you to get to that point?
Oh, that took me 4 to 5 months, I would say. My first round through with your program, I did 2 rounds of your program. And my first round through, you know, I was feeling a little bit better about, you know, where I was at, but I was still some things that I wanted to work on for myself, and that I knew just with a little extra attention and that accountability was awesome. I would say around that 4 to 5 months, I felt very secure in, okay, I can have these foods. Like, I mean, I look in my freezer right now, I have ice cream, I have cereal in the cupboard, you know, I have all of these things around, and it's just not a big deal. But, you know, looking back on it, I feel like it went by, you know, in a blink of an eye, but it did take, you know, a long time. There was frustrating nights. There was, you know, a lot of self-doubt, but continuing just to go back to the foundation of why I was doing this, looking back at where I was, how unhappy, that unhappy place I was at when I thought that the dieting and bodybuilding was going to give me, like I said before, all of this happiness within myself and outside, and taking off those rose-colored glasses and looking at that and being like, okay, I don't want to be in that place again. Like, let's reflect. Okay, why are we here? You know, this is going to work for us. That was a big thing that, you know, I had to keep reminding myself all the way through to get to that point of feeling good with myself and food. Yeah.
It sounds like that why and the vision that you had for yourself for the future really kept you going when the going got tough, and mm-hmm. with all the patience that you really need to have in order to see it through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you now, Emily? What does your relationship with food and your body look like now over, you know, 6 months later since we first started working together?
I can't believe it, but I would say I am recovered from binge eating disorder.
Woo!
I
round of applause.
I can't believe it that, I mean, that's like the big thing, you know, just that I feel like I can give myself that title of like, look where you are now. Like, you feel secure enough to say that about yourself. Like, that's a big thing. I would say right now I'm still working on, I really like the term body indifference, I believe we called it.
Yeah, body neutrality.
Body neutrality, yes. I have really been taking that to heart. And that has been, I would say, past the food stuff, that has been something that I've still been working on, just in a way of reminding myself when those little negative thoughts pop in my head. But it's really awesome way, I think, to view our bodies. Like, I explain it to some other people that might need to hear about it or haven't heard about it. I just say, you know, it's like we expect ourselves with body love to wake up every morning, look in the mirror and be like, oh, look at you. You look so good. Like, loving it. And it's like, maybe some mornings are like that, but are we really going to expect that every morning? Probably not. And to a majority of the time, be able to wake up and just be like, okay, that's my body, moving on. Like, just moving on. It's maybe more about your style. Maybe you like your style and what clothes you put on your body, how you express yourself through, you know, maybe you love to do makeup or your hair or, you know, whatever it is. I feel like there are so many other ways to express with yourself, then, you know, your body doesn't define you, doesn't define your worth. And that has been something that I would say I'm still working on, but has been a really solid foundation for me since we've kind of taken a pause for a few weeks.
I feel like the body image stuff is a continual journey. I think intuitive eating is a continual journey because we're always growing and evolving with our bodies and learning new things about it as we go. But you hit the nail on the head there. Just the same way that there's pressures in diet culture to look and feel certain ways, there's pressures on the other side of body positivity or body love to have this self-confidence, have this image and this ability to show up as you are, wear the bikini, you know, love your curves, when in reality, sometimes that's not realistic for everyone, or it's not what everyone wants, right? My goal is to just be, like you said, indifferent about my body. My body is just my body, and my life is so much more than what I look like. And so I think being able to take that really realistic approach to just being neutral, focusing on more important things in your life that are more aligned with your values, it's really, you know, what emulates that peace that we can find where we're no longer fighting with our bodies. We just allow it to be. And yeah, it is a continual journey because we still live in diet culture. We still have the world around us. And I'm sure in your industry, you know, you see a lot of that frequently. And so, you know, not every day is going to be a great day or a perfect day. And those old beliefs and thoughts and feelings that we had about our body before, they took root probably decades ago. And so it is not uncommon for those little weeds to resurface, but I love to hear that now you have that foundation and the tools to continue to navigate that as life goes on and as our bodies continue to change. And so that's really awesome to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Everything that you said with finding, you know, worth outside of our bodies and just being able to live and to have a focus on something other than food. Anybody that has maybe been been either diagnosed or not with binge eating disorder, it is just such a relief to, you know, just to be like, wow, like I have the energy to focus on what truly matters while still respecting myself and who I want to be. And I would say for anybody that, you know, either works or just is very present in the fitness industry, if you work out a lot or whatever it is, just to keep like reminding yourself about your values and why you're there. Because like you said, diet culture is still there. I would say that that's one of my biggest like frustrations still, you know, is just having to just be like, Emily, you know, you're going to have your opinion now. And, you know, some people aren't going to see it that way. And like, if they're open to listening, you know, you can share, but just kind of finding your people that maybe have those same beliefs or values around fitness, because having those people in your corner while still being in the fitness industry makes it a lot easier to find the happiness that you're looking for and the really positive things that come out of working out and health, wellness, fitness in general. Like, it's amazing. It's an awesome place to be. It's an amazing thing to do for yourself, you know, just movement and everything. And I just would want, you know, people to feel comfortable, confident enough to go and do what makes them feel good, whatever movement it is. I just love the feeling it gives me and the positive things that it could do for my future. So I would just want everybody to give that a chance wherever it may be and find your people that can support you in a healthy way.
You've really redefined fitness and health for you in a way that supports you. And that's all we can really ask for, right? At the end of the day, like, what works best for you makes you feel your best. And that's not going to look or feel the same to anybody else around you. So, you know, you were once focused on the bodybuilding and the image, the physique, eating the cleanest diet and that defining you. And now you're on this other side where there's so much more purpose behind the work that you do, and freedom with food and freedom with fitness and really living more aligned with your true authentic self. And that transformation, especially honestly in such a short period of time, is really inspiring. And so for anyone listening who is beginning their food freedom journey, they're still binge eating, they hear you have to eat your binge foods, and they hear that you found body neutrality and they can't even imagine themselves feeling okay in their body, and they just are really at the thick of it right now where you once were. What words of encouragement or words of advice would you give someone who's in that spot right now?
I would tell them, keep going. More than that, I know it is hard to see right now. I know it seems unreal. I know it seems like you might not ever get there. I know it's painful, but day by day, the more you become connected to yourself, the more you learn to listen to yourself, it is going to become easier, because you will be able to satisfy needs that you didn't even know were there. And giving attention to those things will give food less power over you, only because you are finding out what you truly need and want to work on. Maybe that binging or whatever is going on is hiding that. And once you get to the place of starting to see the light a little bit of like, okay, I am doing it. It might flicker away. It might, but keep going. I promise it's going to be worth it. It is the most exciting feeling to hit those goals and not even know that you were about to do it. It's not a planned thing. I was such a planner.
You had your whiteboard and you had all your check boxes. Yep.
And I was just like, wait, I just did that. And then I'm like, wait, I haven't binged in how long? Oh, I haven't been keeping track of this. Like, just it happens. It happens in such a natural way when you are just giving your focus to yourself and not giving that focus to the dieting, the restricting, thinking that it's going to solve your problems or your ideas with yourself, whatever's going on in your life, because it won't.
Yeah.
It won't, and it's going to make it so much harder. You're going to be so much more frustrated with yourself. So just please keep trying, because it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure everyone listening is feeling uplifted to hear those words and hopeful. And truthfully, you lived by those words throughout your journey. You always showed up. You were there time and time again when it was hard. You showed up for yourself. You came to the coaching calls. You submitted a question. You were active in our group channel and were giving it your all. And now you get to reap the benefits of that. And so really, I commend you and give you so much credit for all the work that you put in to get to this point. And yeah, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I can't thank you enough. I mean, going through your program, I don't know what would have been better suited for me. Like it was amazing and it was exactly what I needed. And believe me, I tried a few other things before and it was overall amazing. The community was amazing. People supporting one another. And if you're listening to this and you don't know if you should reach out or, you know, get help, or you're questioning where you're at in your journey, always good to ask, because you never know where it could lead you to and it could literally change your life. So, yeah.
Wow. That's so powerful. Thank you, Emily. Thank you for all of your kind words. I super appreciate it. Well, it was so great to reflect back on your story here together and get to really highlight that transformation that you've had and show that it's possible for those who are also struggling right now. And so I super appreciate you getting on here and getting vulnerable with us and sharing your story. It was a huge inspiration.
Of course, I was more than happy to. I cried when you asked me to come on here. So, yes, I was very happy to. And I just hope that this can help, you know, at least one person listening to reach out.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, if you're interested in working together inside of the Academy, you can go to behindthebinge.com and find everything you need to apply and get started and learn all about it. I would love to see you inside. And I'm so passionate about helping others with binge eating, because that was me. I was once there myself, and it's horrible. It's really debilitating, but there is hope. There is a life of food freedom on the other side, and I absolutely want to help you get there. So don't hesitate. If you're thinking about it, go ahead and put in an application and I will review it and get back to you so that we can take those next steps to food freedom together. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you would be so kind to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it would really help me out. But otherwise, I will catch you in the next one. Bye, everyone.